Right, hello. Hello everyone. Welcome to the last talk before delirium, I guess, last talk of today. My name is Javier Crespo. I'm from Spain. I work at a company called Desi Robotics. We design monitoring devices, remote monitoring devices, so low power, usually solar panel and so on. And we design like from the prototyping phase to mass manufacturing, or at least series of 50, 100, 200 devices. Today I want to talk about a project in particular in which a customer required us to build or to design a photometer, which is a device that tracks and monitors light pollution. And for the first time, we decided to use Rust for the firmware. So it was, for us, it was a big decision because this has to work. This had to work, and it had to work not only for the prototypes, but for the devices that are deployed in the middle of nowhere, basically. So yeah, first of all, a disclaimer, this doesn't intend to be a deep dive into Rust. There was a dev room for that. There were great talks about Rust and embedded Rust this morning and this afternoon. But the talk is about looking back at the project and asking the questions, was it the right decision? Should we do it again or not? So yeah, well, first of all, a few words about light pollution. Why is that important? Our customer was the European Space Agency and Liber Space Foundation. So obviously the main reason was for astronomy. I don't think it needs any more explanation why is that important. But light pollution is also important for it has an impact in many other areas, such as public health. It has an impact on ecology. There are great resources online trying to correlate the bird migration routes and the sources of artificial light. And in fact, our customers today, they are looking into using our device for doing that. It has an impact on, well, in cultural, a loss of cultural identity and so many other consequences. From the technical point of view, to measure light pollution, pretty much all you need is a photodiode. And there are several ways to interface that with your microcontroller. The one on the left is the one that most of the devices were using when we started the project. It's a chip from AMS that converts the current, the output of the photodiode to frequency-encoded pulses, and then you just count edges for a given amount of time. And the one on the right is the version that we are using now. It's a new chip with an S2C interface. It has a couple of channels. You can configure interrupts. You can configure the gain, the integration time. But in the end, it's the same. It's a photodiode, but a bit more powerful. And yeah, I want to. This is really important, the S2C interface, because the project, from the systems design point of view, pretty much all you need is an S2C interface, and then some kind of connectivity to send the data to the internet. In our case, that was Wi-Fi. So for this project, all we needed was Wi-Fi and S2C. So yeah, choosing Rust was not like a big decision of this will never work. It was, easy. So yeah, why Rust? Well, there are many language features that are interesting and relevant for embedded devices. I chose actually these three from the official website. I'm going to go quickly through them. The first one is the static analysis, the powerful static analysis. I don't know what happens there, but yeah. So what that means can define a GPIO, a GPIO struct, and then depending on whether it's an input or it's configured an input or as an output, you have access to different functions. So what does it mean? For instance, if you declare a GPIO, at compilation time, if it is an input, you can only read it. If it is an output, you can only set it. And yeah, at compilation time, thanks to, this is called a type state pattern, so no runtime cost. And I think this is really, really powerful. The problem is when you are trying to understand, if you are new to the language like me, and you're trying to understand all those. Well, that's really simple, but you can imagine that the hull of any other crate is much more complex, but it's really powerful. Memory allocation also really flexible on Rust. You have core Rust and then you have STD. So if you don't want to use dynamic memory allocation, all you have to do is to type this no STD attribute on top of your main file, for instance. And then instead of having access to declaring a vector on the heap, you have to use some different allocator. For instance, the heapless allocator. That will have a similar functionality, a heapless vector, and you, instead of using the heap, it will use the stack or any other custom allocator. And yeah, concurrency is also really safe in Rust because of the ownership rules. Took this piece of code from our project. We have two threads. One of them is for sampling the data. And the other one is for networking, because when we use cellular communications, we want to bring up the modem while we are sampling, so everything is ready when the data comes out. And yeah, of course, we share some data between those threads. And with Rust, with the ownership rules, you cannot mess it up. You will not incur into data race conditions. For